You know, we're living in some interesting times, but they're also exciting times because we're watching prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. That which had been written before for our admonition even today. So we should not be in fear, but we should also not be lagging in diligence or becoming slothful in this hour. Amen. If anything, we should be drawing closer to the Lord. The enemy likes to keep us distracted and occupying ourselves with vanity because he wants to waste you and your time and your opportunity that God gives you and affords you in this present time to be storing up for yourself, if you will, treasure in heaven. God wants you to have an inheritance, amen? So we get to partner with the Lord. You know, this kind of came to my attention. I was listening to somebody, and they said that God is in control. You know, that is a simple answer to whatever's going on, whatever chaos that we're experiencing. But I want to kind of like expound on that a little bit because God does not take control over everything that goes on. So sometimes people use that God is in control as justification for not doing anything. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and God's in control. How many know that God gave you control of you? So God is not interrupting your will. He's not violating your will to choose who you will serve. Because sometimes we can just justify our behavior by saying, well, God's in control. Or God chose to save me, therefore I'm saved. You know, and that means that I have license now to do whatever I want to do. Because God chose to save me. I didn't save myself, and which is true. You didn't save yourself. But how many know that you're just not automatically saved by God? A lot of things that happen don't happen automatically. A lot of things that happen in your life are a result of choices that you've made. I've made. And so God gives us a free choice, a free will. And what we do with that will determine our future, our destiny. You and I have been given responsibility over ourselves. So God has given that, okay, delegated that authority to you, to be in charge of you. So it's not everything that God does, it's God asking us to willfully submit to his will, that his purposes that are in heaven will be accomplished here in the earth. So understand, God is in control, yes, to the degree that he chooses to be, but he doesn't violate the control that he's given to you. In the very beginning, you know, God gave dominion, didn't he, to man. And that's why we need to pray, according to Matthew 6:9. Remember, Jesus said we must pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, on earth as in heaven. Now, if God was in control of everything that happens in the earth realm, why would we need to pray about anything? I know this may challenge your theology a little bit, but think about it. God has submitted himself to his own word. So the law of God is also a law to himself because of his integrity, because God is true, always true. Everything he does is true. He doesn't violate his word. So if he gave you and I charge and gave us dominion over the earth, over everything in the earth realm, then God has not taken that back. That still stands. The gifts and the callings, those things that God has imparted to us, are our responsibility, but God's not going to do it all. He's asking us to partner with Him, to be His hands and His feet, to be His spokespeople. Amen? God calls us to preach the gospel. God's calling us to partner with Him. He's allowing us to partner with Him so that we could have treasure in heaven. Isn't that a pretty cool idea, right? That's a good deal. So God, being in control, He has limited Himself in some ways because of that which He has already said and established. His word is forever settled in heaven. It doesn't change. So as a king, He makes a decree. That decree is binding. Any king that would make a decree and violate his own decree would be a king that lacked, what, integrity. Therefore, that person could not be trusted. Sound familiar today? Good for thee, not for me. God has His will. But God also has given you a will on earth. We have a will. God has a will. And so what God is looking for is relationship, is agreement, is willful submission to the will of God in heaven, so that His purposes can be accomplished on the earth realm through those that He has designated as His point people to represent Him in the earth realm. That's why Jesus said, "You are the salt," right? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. God's will does not automatically happen here on the earth. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody stood in the gap. Why do we pray if God is in control of everything? Are you understanding? He's sovereign Lord. He's created all things. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. He's the Almighty God. But God has delegated authority to His people, His church, on the earth realm. And we have been entrusted with a stewardship over His investment, His gifts, His talents, His ability to be faithful stewards over that which He's entrusted to us so that we would go and bear fruit. So that we would go and trade, if you will, and multiply what we receive by investing what we have in the hearts of others. You can't outgive God. You've heard that said. So as you sow in the Holy Spirit, as you sow in the spirit realm, amen, eventually what you invested, what you've sown, will return. That's why we should not, according to Galatians 6:9, become weary in well-doing. For what? In due season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. Now in heaven, God's will is perfectly fulfilled every time. Okay? And any angel that would say otherwise is not going to last very long there, right? As we already know. So God's will is always accomplished perfectly in heaven. But His will on the earth can be resisted. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing great resistance to the will of God. We have resisted the will of God before. You have done contrary to what you knew was right before. Somebody say amen. So God's will, okay, does not automatically happen in your life. God gives you responsibility over you to submit yourself to Him, to listen to His voice, and to do what He's telling you to do. And then as you cooperate with Him, His purposes will be accomplished in the earth through you and I. God chooses human vessels. So it's not just for the preacher. Amen. It's for all of us to partner and be part of the building up of the body of Christ, the building of God. Hearts, one heart at a time, you and I investing in the hearts of others. And so, because God's will can be resisted on the earth, that's why we have suffering. That's why we have persecution. That's why we have opposition. Because, yes, you know there's a devil, a real devil, and he's on the loose. And he's looking for someone to cooperate with him. As God wants to fill us with his spirit, the devil's looking to fill you with him. Amen? So, to whoever you submit yourself, you become that one slave. You become the servant of that one to whom you submit yourself to. So we got to understand, guys, that there's a reason why prayer should not ever be considered optional for us. Well, they're prayer warriors. How many know that God would like every one of us to be a prayer warrior? Because that's how things get accomplished. It begins in the spirit realm before it's ever manifested in the natural. It requires an act of faith, an act of obedience, an agreement with what the Lord reveals through his word. He's looking for someone and will simply say, Lord, I'm willing to step out of the boat. I'm willing to get up on the water with you. If Jesus is on the water, get out of the boat and get on the water with him. Amen. He's able to keep you up. God's will and our will is two separate things. Or man's will is two separate things. And that's why we need to partner with him. Because God wants to bring his perfect will on earth here. We need to understand the value of our prayer. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, God's perfect will for Israel was that they would choose him to be their king. And now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old. Thanks. And your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Like what? All the nations. We want to be like everybody else. We want to conform. See, Israel was to be a separate people. They were to be holy. Amen. They weren't supposed to be like the other nations in the earth. But they didn't want to be different. They wanted to conform to the world. Does that sound familiar? You and I are to conform to Christ, amen, and not to this world. But the enemy is a seducer, and he tries to get us to conform to him and to his ways. He baits us. He entices us with things like you'll be popular, you'll be cool, you'll be accepted if you do this. People will like you. You'll get a lot of likes on Facebook if you say this and do this. Beside, everybody else is doing it. Just follow the crowd. The crowd seems to be knowing what they're up to, right? What they're doing. How often do people follow the crowd without even realizing what the crowd is into? But just because we want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, God put that in us. But we have to be careful who we partner with. Amen. In verse 6, it said the thing displeased Samuel, that they wanted to be like the other nations. When they said, give us a king to judge us. So what did Samuel do? He chewed his nails, right? No. He prayed. Good idea, right? Prayed to the Lord. And so what did the Lord tell Samuel to do? He said, tell them to do what they want to do. Allow them to choose their will over my will. Now hear this. You all have heard this before, but I want to remind you guys that God has a perfect will, and then God has a permissive will. Permissible. In other words, he's allowing us to choose which path we will take. Love is consensual. Love cannot be forced. Love has to be a choice. I choose to love. I choose to give. I choose to serve. I choose to bless. It's a choice of my will to partner with that which I know God wants me to do, which would be His perfect will. But then we find ourselves in life faced with choices. Sometimes I don't like being in that place, but you know what I'm talking about, where you got to make a choice between two. And sometimes you're struggling to figure out which one is God's perfect will. And we also have to guard against our own natural inclination to go towards that which may appear to be better, which may not necessarily be God's will. Sometimes the devil will bait people with money, for example. A better opportunity, a better paying job. And if we're not careful, we can choose that over the perfect will of God. And God says, you're free to choose, but this is my perfect will for you. And so people have made choices that was something that they wanted, but they weren't really willing to listen to what God had to say about it. Hello? I don't even know if I really want to pray about this, because God may say no, and right now my flesh is screaming out for it. Sometimes you don't have to pray about it because you already know what God wants. Amen? How many know there are consequences for our decisions, our choices? All right, God loves us. He knows what's best for us. He wants us to trust Him in every decision we make, knowing that His will is perfect for us. The Creator knows the creation quite well. He knows what works for us, guys. You know, we have to be careful not to be wise in our own understanding, but fear the Lord, depart from evil. Amen. Choose the will of the way. Choose the fear of the Lord. The path of God, hallelujah, for your life. So the Lord told Samuel to do as they said. Allow the people to have their way. In verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. In other words, you're going to make a decision because that's what you really want. And if that's what you want, I've given you a free will to choose your path. However, I'm going to tell you in advance that you're making a mistake, and in time you will know that my way was perfect. And hopefully we can learn from our mistakes. Come on, somebody. We've all made those decisions, hasty decisions, didn't think it through, didn't pray it through. And in the spur of the moment, we had a knee-jerk reaction to something. And maybe in a time of panic, anybody ever make a mistake when you got into panic mode? Instead of just relaxing and say, okay, Lord, what are we going to do together? How are we going to walk through this together? What would you have me to do in partnership with your perfect will in this situation? Instead of panicking about it, let's just lean back in His arms and let go. Settle down and let God speak to you and give you His counsel. Because God wants you and I to know His perfect will for our lives. Do you believe that? So God told Samuel, warn them. This king is not going to do them well. So who did they choose? Remember, they chose Saul, right? What did Saul do? Well, Saul enriched himself by impoverishing the people. Does that sound familiar? What did Saul do? He enslaved the people. He forced them into military and domestic duties. Does that sound familiar? Being pressured to conform to the will of another. Do you know, in the beginning, man walked with God in the cool of the day. Amen? In perfect harmony and perfect freedom. You know, it wasn't God's intention for us to be ever ruled by tyrants. God has placed government and order, amen, in society to keep us from killing each other off. right? To prevent chaos. And so good government is a government that serves the people, not the other way around. But man, sinful man, wants to reign over, rule over, and oppress other people. In other words, man wants to be his own God. So good government is government that is actually for the people and by the people. For the benefit, amen, of the people. That's good government. Now under the law, God did make provision for the rule of kings. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 14, you can read that later. But God's perfect will for Israel was that he himself should be their king. So God's perfect will was that the people would choose his will over their own will. You know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And it comes down to faith. It comes down to trust. It comes down to really giving up the fight against God and getting into agreement with God and walking with the Lord. The Lord knows the way through every situation, through the wilderness, through the difficulties. He has the way even where there didn't seem to be a way. We have to lean on him, rely upon his wisdom, his counsel. He's there to help us every day. God's perfect will, for example, is that people would be saved. Is God in control of that? No, God is in control to the degree that people are willing to give him control over their lives. God's willing, amen, for people to be saved. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Come on. That's his perfect will. Is everybody going to be saved? No. Because man resists the will of God on the earth. Here's where the problem is. In John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave what? The right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." The Amplified says, "But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God, that is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name." That's an exposition of those words, okay? And so this is very important for us to understand that God is looking for you and I to come into agreement with his perfect will so that his will in heaven can be accomplished here on earth. Amen. And he's allowing us to partner with him. He's allowing us to be a part of that. That's the good news. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I enjoy serving the Lord. Because by serving the Lord, you're serving others. Amen. You're blessing others. If you bless others and if you water people, amen, God will make sure you're well watered. Isn't that how it works? All right. What did Joshua do in Joshua 24? "Now, therefore," he said, he was giving them final instructions here. "Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," what did he say? "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, and whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We, as an act of our will, serve the Lord. God has a will, but man also has a will on the earth. So we must choose who we will serve. Now, God wants our children to be nurtured, to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. Amen? But he doesn't force parents to train their children. He gives you responsibility over that child to train them in the way that they should go. But he doesn't force you to train that child. He gives you that responsibility. And Proverbs 22, verse 6 is one of my life verses. It's, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not," what? "Depart from it." So who's responsible for that child? Parents. Not the government, by the way. Now, God's perfect will is that we be holy. that we abstain from sexual immorality as his people. But man has to be willing to submit to God's will in this. God doesn't force us into obedience. It's always a choice that we make. Have you ever hoped that somebody would love you? You ever have a crush on somebody when you're growing up? And you were really hoping that person would notice you and want you because you just want them so badly. And yet they didn't seem to be interested. And you might have even gone out of your way to try to make an advance and try to get this person to pay attention to you. That's why young men especially get so goofy around women, you know. Right? Because they're trying to get their attention. And usually that backfires, right? I don't want this goofy kid around here. But we do things to try to get that person's attention in hopes that somehow we can win them. All right? And so, especially guys, you know, and by nature, we're more of the outgoing. All right? The external. We're even designed that way biologically, right? And so, men, we usually pursue women. However, that's not always the case. Some of you are saying, yeah, I know. But if that person is not interested in you, if they really don't have a heart for you, then no amount of attempts are going to make any difference. Sometimes people learn how to manipulate and control other people using emotions, emotional manipulation, to get them to do what they want. But if that person's heart is not in it, if they only obliged you because of the pressure you put them under, it's still not authentic love. Are you hearing me, somebody? So God invites us to come into his company, to join, to partner, to come into union with him in the Spirit, and to experience the love of God that passes knowledge. To have a true encounter with the living God, to experience him in the ecstasy of knowing him, amen, in the spirit realm. To taste and see that the Lord is good. But God never forces us to come to him. He invites us. He lavishes his grace upon us. He blesses us. Even when we're not looking for him, how many know he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust? God is good to all, guys. Even people before we even knew him, God was already good to us. In hopes that maybe we would look beyond the blessing to the one who was doing the blessing and draw near to him, to get to know him. When you give a gift to your children, you hope that that gift, all right, will be interpreted as, I love you. And so I want to bless you with this, just because I love you. But you also have a desire that your child will understand that it's not all about the gift, but it's about my heart for you. That I want you to respond back. How many love to get a hug from your children? Amen. Or from somebody, amen, that has been good to you. Nothing worse than giving a gift to a child that doesn't appreciate it. It's another teaching for another day, but we used to have these neighbors that bought their kids everything. And they'd go out and destroy everything that they had because they didn't see any value in it. Because they didn't have to work for anything. My dad made sure we had to work for stuff. You know, not everything, but sometimes he'd meet me halfway. You know, if I wanted that 12-string, do they still, 12-string, yeah, 12-speed bike back in the day. I don't know if they make 12-speeds anymore. It was a Raleigh 12-speed, man, and I just had my eye on that. And Dad said, okay, you get out and you work, and I'll help you out with it. So I went to work. And when I got that bike, do you think I immediately took it off a ramp? Started doing wheelies? And no, I was taking care of that baby, you know. It was like a car. I'd even go out there and wipe it down all the time, make sure all the spokes were just cleaned off. And you know why? Because I had invested in that. God has invested in us. God lavishes His grace upon us. We need to understand that and acknowledge Him in that. And in all things, we're supposed to be giving Him thanks. But God is wanting us to, as a choice, as an act of our will, respond back to His goodness as we remember the cross and the price that Jesus paid for us. He suffered and died on our behalf and demonstrated His love for us in this, in the cross. Amen. That we would return our love to Him, submit ourselves to Him, offer our bodies to Him as living sacrifices, to live the rest of our life for His glory and for His honor. Out of appreciation, out of a way of saying thanks and loving God back, we worship. Hallelujah. God's perfect will, guys. In Hebrews 13:4, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. How many believe, and I know sometimes this gets abused, but God wants to prosper you. God wants you to prosper and be in health. He wants us to be spiritually healthy, most importantly. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all things be in health, just as your soul prospers. God's perfect will is that we what? We prosper and be in health. Sometimes, guys, we're willing to just accept second best to what God's perfect will is. We're willing just to go with the permissible because maybe we don't want to contend for something. We don't want to pursue anything. We don't want to have to pray for anything. We're just hoping that it'll just drop out of the sky and materialize. That's not how it works, is it? God's will is always accomplished in heaven. But on earth, His will can be what? Resisted. So our responsibility is to pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. All right. And sometimes that means that we have to contend. We have to stand in there and pray through. Pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. Push, right? But pray through. We live in this microwave society of instant this, instant gratification. I didn't get it right away, so it must not be, you know, I'm just not going to contend. I'm not going to have to work for anything. I just want it now. And because of that, we have this mentality sometimes when it comes to spiritual things that everything is supposed to be instantaneous and right now. And if it doesn't happen in the time that I expect it to happen, then God's just not good. If it doesn't happen the way I expect it to happen, well, God's not good. Oh, come on. God is smarter than we are. He knows what works and what doesn't work. 1 John 5:14, you all know this so well. Now, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, according to His will, He hears us, right? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, let me shift gears a little bit here. National elections. God gives choice to the American people to choose who their leaders will be. God has a perfect will for America, but God also can be resisted. Because God has also given us freedom of choice. Now, I don't believe that everything happened above board in these recent elections. I believe there was a lot of corruption, and there still is. Okay. However, comma, God's perfect will be accomplished in God's perfect timing. The one that God chooses will be in that seat. Do you understand? Sometimes, guys, because of our haste and our unwillingness, you know, to persevere and to press in And to wait on God's timing, we jump the gun and we jump to conclusions about things because so often without realizing it, we're living by sight. We're living by the way things appear in the natural. And the enemy knows this, so he magnifies evil. He props up his people. He's a puppet master. And he's manipulating people on the scene as theatrics in hopes that we will believe the lie and resolve to just give in and believe the lie and not believe God for his perfect will to be accomplished in America. Come on, somebody. I say you stand in the gap. I say you stand and you fight, amen, on your knees, and you do what you can in the natural as God has given us opportunity to make the right choices, amen, in agreement with His will. How many know that God hates abortion? It's not okay. So we know God's perfect will, amen, is that children will be protected. So we need to stand in the gap and pray, amen, for His kingdom to come and will to be accomplished in America and for God to once again rule and reign, amen, in our nation. The enemy is trying to prop himself up to be bigger than he actually is. How many believe that the enemy is actually in fear right now? All that barbed wire and fencing, there's something going on. Somebody's insecure. But our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. Whew! God wants to show up and show off in a mighty way, and I am believing, guys, that things are going to turn. I'm not listening to the naysayers. I'm not listening to the evil report. I'm saying I'm getting into agreement with what I know God wants to do because God's heart is good. And He wants to do people good. And if His people, the ones that are called by His name, the church, amen, will humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, call on Him, and turn from our wicked ways, then He said, I will hear from heaven. And you see, we were hoping that, oh, this guy's going to come in and he's going to be the Savior. God's saying, you're looking at the wrong thing. No man can make America great again. No man can save America, amen. God's the one that's going to save America. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit. God's in this. Believe. Press in. Rise up. You and I are warriors in the army of God. We are soldiers. Don't entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. Amen. Go higher. Go to the throne of grace. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for justice. Justice for those who have been oppressed. Those who have been abused. Those who have been destroyed by evil men in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. You see, we need to exercise our will in agreement with God's will. Because man can choose to resist the will of God. The enemy wants to stop God's people from praying, His will be done. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you're entertaining yourself with. Be careful what news you're looking at. We're in a psychological warfare right now to get a hold of your mind, to control your thinking, to put in your head, to plant thoughts, seed thoughts. Amen? And hopefully it'll catch root and start to grow up in your head and produce hopelessness and depression and insanity. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be whole. God wants us to prosper and be in health. We're believing for that. Amen. We're believing for a turnaround. Hallelujah. God can do it. God can cause a wall to come down. Amen. Overnight, between East and West Germany, it happened overnight. God can just shift things like that. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm standing in there because I'm believing that we're going to see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles and people getting saved. Amen. And God is allowing things to go on as long as they have because He's trying to get His church's attention. We just want everything instant. And God's saying, you're still in the world. You're still focused on the wrong things. I want you to be kingdom minded. I want you to partner with me and live your life for eternity. Amen. And don't get so distracted on just trying to have it all now or keep up with the Joneses. God's will is to empower His church with the Spirit. Our part is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You understand? God wants to revive the church. But it begins with you and me agreeing with what God wants to do and paying the price for revival. You see, God's will is to revive His church. But His will can be resisted if we're unwilling to cooperate with Him in this. But I don't believe that's what's going to happen. I believe that the desperation of this time we're in right now is causing many of us to wake up and say, hey, the darkness is coming in on us here, you know. And it's time for us to rise up against and resist that. You and I are the resistance to the flood of evil in our land. God's given us that responsibility to partner with Him in His will by submitting our will to His and to pray and to preach, amen, and to share and to love and to serve and to be salt and to be light, to be influencers in this world for the glory of God. All right, moving on here. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. What was God's will? To empower His people. What were the people supposed to do? Terry, wait, remain in the city of Jerusalem until what? God's Spirit was poured out upon them, all right? So God's will does not automatically happen here on the earth. You understand that those that were spoken to by the Lord were then responsible to obey the instruction of the Lord and be in the right time and the right place for them to receive the promise of God. It doesn't happen automatically. There had to be cooperation with heaven. And so in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. What did they do? They got on Facebook. They got on Mario Brothers. Now, that's an old one. I don't know. What did they play now? That was Xbox? They got on Xbox and they spent all their time playing video games. No! Their priority was to obey the instruction of the Lord, be in the right time, in the right place, amen, and wait on the promise. They didn't know when, but they knew God was faithful to do what He promised to do. And therefore, their faith was valid because they obeyed Him in that instruction. You can't say you believe God and not obey Him. You can't say you have faith and not trust His word. Our faith is in God's word. Our faith is in what God promises, all right? Okay. Now in chapter 2, verse 1, here it is. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there what came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. The Comforter had come, the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. The initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given. They prayed and they spoke in tongues and languages that they'd never learned. Amen. And it says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, just a few more points here. Sometimes God gets blamed for the choices that people make. Now, if you've got to go back to the beginning and understand that God delegated and given us the authority over the earth realm, and He gave us a free will to choose who we would serve, who we would obey. And because of that, people, innocent people, suffer. because we live in a sin-sick, fallen world. But God's original plan, amen, and assignment for man was that he would be in charge, and that he would be in charge of himself. And we see when man has been opened up to the knowledge of good and evil, that man is capable of indescribable evil if he allows himself to go there. But still man has a will that can resist the will of God on earth. God's will is always accomplished in heaven, but on the earth it can be resisted. And so God's will is to do us good, guys. That's his heart. But man sometimes chooses to reject God's will. Now in Genesis 1:26, this is where it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God still expects us to take dominion over the things of the earth. Hello. Why is it that crops fail? Is it because we're using aerosols? Well, that's what the scientists would want you to believe. Are you using air conditioning? You think about it. Whenever Israel had honored the Lord, had obeyed the Lord, had walked in his ways, prosperity came. The crops were beautiful, amen? They had beautiful harvests. God blessed the land because they were in harmony with their Creator. And whenever you and I get out of harmony with our Creator, and we start aligning ourselves with the destroyer, Satan, then what happens is the land becomes polluted. The land becomes defiled, and the land no longer produces its fruit. What happens in the natural is an outcome of what's happening in the spiritual. God wants to bless America again. But we have to get into harmony with our Creator again, so that God would heal our land, forgive our sin, and heal our land. When people are healed, when people are in right standing with God, then everything around them is also influenced for good. Yeah. If you're hanging around somebody who's negative and pessimistic, you know, or who ain't living right, that person can influence you. That person influences the whole atmosphere of the home, can be tainted by the attitude of that person. Are you hearing me, somebody? But when a person is in harmony with God, walking in the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of God, then not only are they in their heart in a good place, but that even which is around them is influenced for good. You can walk into some homes and you walk right into the peace of God. You walk into other homes, you're like, oh my word, what happened here? Are you hearing me? God wants us to be in harmony with Him. He wants us to willfully commit ourselves to Him, submit our will to the will of Him, so that His purposes in heaven will be accomplished on the earth. Would you join with me? I want to just pray for a few things this morning. Let's come into agreement. The Lord said, "If two of you shall agree, as touching anything you shall ask in my name, it shall be done." If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God's will is to heal our land. God's will is for salvation to come. Hallelujah. For healing to come. For deliverance to come. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray Your kingdom come. God, we pray Your will be done. God, we lift up our nation before You. God, we know that this is bigger than we are. This is beyond anything that we can do. But Lord, we're calling on You. God, we're asking You to intervene. Father in heaven, we're asking You, Lord God, to release Your mercy, release Your grace, and God, release Your justice on the oppressors and those who have stolen and lied and cheated and destroyed men's lives. Father, we're praying for justice against those who have abused and destroyed children, God. In Jesus' name, we pray for Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done in this country. Father, we pray that you would wake up your church, wake up your people, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Lord, make us bold, make us strong in you, that we will walk, hallelujah, in the authority that you have given us, Lord God, that we will go about in doing good and destroying the works of the devil and healing all who are oppressed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your glory fall upon us. Let your glory fall upon your church. Bring your church back into order, back into the right standing, God, that we've been called to partner with you and to agree with you, Father, for your will to be accomplished here. Here am I, Lord, send me. Use me, Lord God. Fill me with your power. Fill me, Lord God, with the anointing. Use me for your glory. Make me a blessing, Lord, that out of my life you will shine. Lord, we want to light up the night. We want to light up the darkness. So, Father, give us the grace. Give us the strength to stand strong. And God, protect us from the evil one. Surround us with your holiness, Lord God. Clothe us in your full armor from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. God, give us holy boldness. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, cry out to him this morning. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Hallelujah. Lord, release your spirit now. Release your glory now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to stir up the gift of God in every heart. Lord, that we will be good stewards over your investment and be about your business. For your name's sake, we ask. Thank you, Lord.